Good evening. It's January the 24th, 2019. And this is You Know Who, Dan, the Little Saigon Report. And as we discussed last time, just because it says report doesn't mean I have any actual news about Little Saigon in Seattle. It seems okay. It's you know, its own special place, and let's just leave it at that. The topic of tonight is a little bit dark, as the case may be, and it deals with how things fail. You know, one of the things about failure is that it takes on many features. It doesn't, you know, failure doesn't always happen the same way. There are failures in systems that tend to be asymmetric and failures that tend to be symmetric. Like, for example, when people use controlled demolition and they take down a building, that's a very symmetric implosion, a very symmetric collapse. It's as if the entire system fails at once. And some really horrible illnesses like Ebola happen at such a deep level and happen so quickly that it's almost like the same thing, a symmetric collapse. It doesn't look like that. It looks like a bloody mess, but it's as if the entire system is being attacked at once, which isn't really the case. And listen, I'm no expert on Ebola, but that's the point is that that kind of collapse does occur, and sometimes it sort of occurs in nature. It's very rare. It's very rare in nature to have that, you know, unless, you know, an animal falls into lava. I mean, yeah, if you fall into lava in nature, if you just were walking down a road and you fell into lava, you get that very symmetric collapse. But all things being equal, unless it's like lava or massive cosmic rays from the sky, when people die, it tends to be very asymmetric, very jagged, no matter the cause, whether it's disease or accident or being hunted down and killed. You know, if you're hunted down and killed by a lion, it's cutting, you know, it's going to cut your throat, it's tearing at your body, it's pulverizing and punching holes in you. This is not symmetric nor pretty. It may happen quickly, you know, this isn't about speed, but it isn't very pretty. The reason why I'm talking about this is because people will talk about, like, the collapse, like, assuming that, you know, all civilizations collapse, all empires collapse. I think all empires collapse. I think civilization is a concept. Technically, in Latin, it means basically someone that lives in a city. So if you were to ask me, do I think cities collapse? Yeah, I do. I do think they collapse. I mean, a lot of people have this weird understanding of ancient Rome. Like, they think of ancient Rome as like all of Italy or all of the areas it conquered. But from the Roman perspective, for most of its history, you had to be born in Rome, the city of Rome, to be a Roman. So this is the thing. When people talk about civilization, I think they're really talking about people living in cities in addition to smaller settlements. Like, small settlements are also a feature of history. I don't want to debate whether one's better than the other. I think both should probably end up existing in a world that's free. But you also have small settlements, okay? So yeah, do I think cities will experience something like collapse? Well, probably for a while. I'm hoping not forever. I mean, I read James Howard Kunstler every week, and I think he's in addition to being a brilliant writer, he understands the world fairly well in a common sense sort of way. And I think he sees the core issues for what they are. I've read a couple of his books, Too Much Magic and The Long Emergency. And, you know, I didn't read them in that order, nor were they published in that order. If you're going to read anything about his, if, I don't know, I can't really recommend it because I haven't read everything he's written, but I can highly recommend The Long Emergency, and you read that first, and then read everything, because he's a brilliant writer. But he has a very kind of, I don't want to call it dark, but very matter-of-fact view of the future. He doesn't really, you know, he doesn't really negotiate with reality in the way that he's trying to say, well, if I bargain here and bargain there, there's no bargaining. I think he's way into acceptance. That's the thing. I think if you're thinking of this in terms of the Kubler-Ross process of where you should be, I think Kunstler is generally in acceptance. I think there have been other people out there trying to tell the truth who basically got stuck in depression. And I have to say, it's hard not to get stuck there. It's hard not to be stuck there. But yeah, I think Kunstler's view of collapse is not as drastic as maybe my view, but it is very drastic. I mean, he can imagine a future where things really do go awry. I think there are some possible futures that are really terrible, and they're not all exactly like economic collapse, but they're actually worse. I mean, this is the thing. Collapse can take many forms, you know. People, for example, the first Persian Gulf War, I think this is a really good example. People look at the first Persian Gulf War and they say to themselves, well, this was when America as the empire, you know, became strong again and we were back on our feet and we were kicking ass and we showed those people in the Middle East what was what. But what if the reality of the first war and the first victory over Saddam Hussein was more about just basically holding off the barbarians? And I don't mean that those people are barbarians. I mean this in the Roman sense. Like essentially, when the Romans basically started abandoning their borders, when they started moving soldiers away from their borders, that was also a big part of the collapse. Now you could argue they didn't have the resources. But yeah, by the 4th or 5th century, the Romans were basically making decisions and they were abandoning outposts. And so things basically went from bad to worse. So when I look at the first Gulf War, I don't see strength. I actually see weakness. When an empire has to start fighting wars to survive, this is really important because people need to understand this. When an empire has to start fighting wars to survive, then that empire is probably doomed, you know, in my opinion. You know, people will say, well, you can't have an empire without wars. Well, that's partly true, but these wars we're fighting, these aren't wars of taking over more stuff. These are wars of defending the shit we think we control. You know, these are wars about the US dollar. These are wars about the control of whatever's left of conventional oil and natural gas. These are wars about natural resources, about rare metals, about stuff you can only find someplace in Africa. But these are about control. So collapse, the failure of a system, takes on many forms. And I don't want to simplify by simply saying symmetric or asymmetric. But symmetric collapses can be slow. I mean, you could think of it, another example of a slow symmetric collapse would be like something you know, an artist builds something in ice, okay? They build an ice sculpture, and it starts, the temperature warms up rapidly. Well, it will melt in such a way that, yeah, it isn't failing in exactly the same way everywhere, but it will try to fail symmetrically. But then it also depends upon design of the ice sculpture. This is why I said symmetric collapse in nature is so rare, because if you design the wrong kind of ice sculpture, well, then actually it could fail quite asymmetrically. So I was trying to make a good example, but there's just very few. But yeah, if you drop an ice cube in hot water, that's a better example. It involves fewer variables. If you drop an ice cube in hot water and it's hot and the water's hot enough, like let's say you drop it in boiling water, that ice cube, according to the laws of thermodynamics, will transition as quickly as it can to a liquid. Yes, it won't happen instantly, but it'll happen quickly, depending upon the temperature of the water. So basically, what I would contend is that, yeah, if I was looking at how societies or empires fail, I don't think they fail symmetrically. I think you have big jagged events. In some ways, the Persian Gulf War, which we think of as a sign of strength of the empire. We defeated Saddam Hussein, we kicked him out of Kuwait. You could argue that, but then again, you could say that the very process of setting out and creating empires is by itself, by design, guaranteed to fail. Like empires will always fail. You could think of that as a rule of history. It's just a question of when. When do they fail? When do people wise up? The current empire thinks it's solved all these problems. It thinks that it can program people and control them. And I do think, you know, I do believe the robot apocalypse arrived. People are kind of just, you know, like pod people now. I feel that way. But I don't think they're pod people in the way that the government or the people that run the world understands. I think they're more like Hal. I think that they're kind of a collective unconscious now. And like Hal from 2001, A Space Odyssey, the computer, the super smart computer, like Hal, they're looking around saying, I'm being fucked with. I'm being lied to. I don't know what they're lying about. So I think I'm going to start tossing people out the airlock. I mean, that's not exactly what happened in the movie, but you get my point. I'm going to send a little robot drone to pull the air supply off of the little astronaut so he, suffocates in space. I'm pissed off. I'm Hal. I can envision. I mean, people don't need. This is the thing, and I think the government's starting to realize this. This is why they're scared. This is why the yellow vest thing is interesting. I don't know if the yellow vest thing is real or not. I'm sorry. I look at it, and it looks literally like a color revolution, like yellow vest. It's almost like Soros is flipping the bird. And then I saw a Soros article today about immigration, kind of. And it was weird. It was like he was agreeing with some shit. It made no sense. He would never agree with. So I don't know if Soros is like a true believer in the globalist nightmare or just an opportunist. He could just be an opportunist. But yeah, people will start to lose it. And as they lose it, they don't even have, and here's the thing about losing it. And this is kind of maybe the important theme of this podcast. I don't think it's going to be symmetric or even necessarily violent. It can just be neglect. I mean, here's the thing. If a guy is important for a job at a nuclear power plant, okay, he has a role as a nuclear engineer, and he's getting divorced, and he doesn't have enough money, and his wife thinks he's horrible, and he has cancer. He doesn't have to actually do anything wrong. He just has to not do things right. And if he does that long enough, systems fail. His job is to be there as a backup to some system, and if he simply neglects his job, systems fail. A commander of a nuclear submarine. He has a kid. The kid just came out to him, okay, and said, I'm gay or I'm trans. And guess what, guys? I don't hate you if you're gay or trans or anything. Some of you, I hate some of everybody. I hate some of everybody, and there are lots of people I hate. But just because you might be gay or trans or something, I don't hate you. But I'm using these as examples, so fuck you. This kid, this gay kid, comes out to his conservative dad, who's really, really religious, and frankly, believes that wrath is his and not the Lord's, and that's where people sometimes go wrong. And so he's angry as fuck, and he's a drunk. But he also happens to be the commander of a nuclear submarine with nuclear missiles. Now I know that the system that controls nuclear weapons is complicated and is designed with fail safes, so some crazy guy just can't fire them. But there's a lot of crazy shit you can do with a nuclear submarine that doesn't involve launching the missiles. A guy works at a chemical plant that makes something really, really that sounds ordinary, but there's lots of, and he screws up, and it happens to have toxic inputs, and those toxins turn into a cloud and kill a bunch of people. Why? Because he just fucked up. He neglected his job. He's going crazy. And then you're going to have the crazies who actually do crazy things, who actually go out of their way. And it's funny, during the Obama administration, they called these people lone wolves. Listen, I do think there are real people out there being manipulated, okay? I do believe MK Ultra is real, and I think it's ongoing. But do I actually believe every single example of a crazy person is the result of the government? No, I think that there are a lot of people just losing it. They're just losing it. They've reached their breaking point. And instead of simply being neglectful and sort of dwindling into the horizon, which is really the easiest path if you simply have lost it, they're being very proactive, very assertive. They're doing things like driving their cars into crowds and whatnot. Do I think 9/11 was that? No. I think 9/11 is one of the reasons why we're here, why we're at this point, this juncture, as they might say, in human civilization. That's how things can collapse through neglect. And it's not the first time. I mean, it's not exactly like ours. History doesn't necessarily repeat. It rhymes. It rhymes, as they say, whatever. But whether it's the Mayans or the Romans, the Egyptians, the Assyrians, or frankly, any number of Chinese dynasties. Because in China, yeah, people will say, well, there's been one country, but there's been a lot of dynasties, and there've been a lot of people in charge at different times. And so, whatever analogy you want to apply, this is kind of how it often happens. The people just stop giving a shit. They stop getting paid. They stop getting mail. They stop getting any services, but you still have thugs coming around collecting taxes. And all of a sudden you realize, well, I can take my money and hire my own thugs and fight off the thugs trying to demand taxes. This is how systems collapse. The first Gulf War was not, in my opinion, a sign of strength. It wasn't an empire expanding. I'll agree that the murder of the Native Americans, that's an example of an empire expanding. I mean, that's how evil empires are. Pretty much all empires are evil. But the murder of Native Americans, that's a classic biblical, almost Old Testament example of empires expanding. The first Persian Gulf War, in my opinion, wasn't. And right now, the war on terror looks like Stalingrad to me. That's what it looks like. And I don't know, I don't know if Trump is an adult, is the adult in the room. I really don't know. But unless somebody figures out something fast, we're going to waste a lot of resources and kill a lot of people for no reason. And whatever time we need, or whatever solutions we need to come up with so that the human race doesn't all go crazy, we don't have a lot of time, in my opinion. Because one of these days, it's going to be some dude who has an important job, or some woman. It's not a male thing, it's not a straight thing. Gay people in very important positions could go crazy. Women can go crazy. I mean, I have six sisters. You fucking kidding me? Women can go as nutty as fuck. So it's not about a man in an important position going crazy. It's any kind of person, black or white, whatever. And as more and more people get to their breaking point, this just gets worse. So I really don't know what to tell you. I think people have these weird views of collapse. I think that they have. There was this one documentary. I think it was called, I want to say it was called Connections. I want to say it was called Connections. I'm gonna read. I'm gonna hold on a second. Since I have the internet before me, I'm gonna search the correct citation because, I'm getting old, right? Time for me to like. Yeah. So James Burke, who I don't really know a ton about James Burke's actual academic credentials. I don't really know a ton about that. But he had a documentary back in the 70s, late 70s, called Connections. And the main topic of, and or I should say, a core theme of this documentary series was this idea of how dependent we are, how incredibly dependent we are on technology or certain kinds of technology. That if one thing goes wrong, a lot of things can go wrong, and also a lot of things can go right. He calls it the trigger effect, and the trigger effect is powerful. I don't know what to say. I kind of think that there's a lot of truth to this, and that yeah, the collapse could be rapid for technological reasons, but even then, I don't imagine it'll be exactly like it is in the movies. Another good example of rapid collapse. Here's a good example of rapid symmetric collapse. Or let's think in terms of levels of symmetry. Not perfectly symmetric, okay? But pretty fucking symmetric. An EMP attack, okay? If someone were to either if either the Earth suffered a coronal mass ejection that created a Carrington event or a super Carrington event, and we had a really crazy burst of cosmic rays, we could have a massive EMP pulse, and yeah, that could do a lot of damage. Or if a country used nukes that were designed to do EMP, I saw a Zero Hedge article today about, freaking all these countries that want to build EMP bombs. Fuck. An EMP attack would be very symmetric in the sense that it's distributed, and so things just fail kind of almost at the same time. But it won't be symmetric because that'll be the first phase. The next thing that goes wrong, if it's a bad enough EMP attack, is a lot of nuclear reactors start failing. Oh, I hate to break it to you. You can't, just turn them off. You can scram a nuclear, some nuclear reactors. The point is, most nuclear reactors in our country, I think, are are boiling water reactors, which means they're basically bombs waiting to go off. So yeah, even though it appears symmetric, it's still a good example of how in nature things don't tend to fail symmetrically. They tend to fail in these very jagged ways. The first phase is the EMP attack, but then all of a sudden, all these horrible things that depend upon continuous electricity, they start failing. And then things get bad, okay? Because you have logistics not working, you have trucks not working. It just gets worse. And if a society is already at the tipping point, like I think the United States is kind of in a bad place right now. And I am too. I take ownership of my feelings. I take ownership of the fact that I'm angry. I am angry about my situation. I'm angry about the way the world works. I think there's a lot of problems people don't want to solve. And I think this worship of government is dangerous. I think that, yeah, do I think corporations are kind of evil? I think a lot of them are. But in my opinion, in most cases, that's because of a government contract or a government deal or some crony bullshit. If you get rid of all the corporate welfare, which I would do first, if I was going to get rid of welfare, if I were president and I had to get rid of welfare, I would get rid of corporate welfare first, not last. Ugh, sorry for that rant. It's just, yeah, we're at the tipping point in this country. And so if all the electronics in this country got fried because of an electromagnetic pulse, if that happened, then I think a lot of places could go from bad to worse at an exceptionally fast rate. I mean, I mentioned this before, and I think I'll include the link in the podcast, but I had this essay I wrote a few years ago on my old blog that I called The Odds of Survival. And it was based upon a conversation over lunch where I was writing on a napkin. Someone said, "Okay, Dan, what do you think is going to happen if things get bad?" And I said, "Okay, I'll write that on a napkin." I call it, it's a napkin estimate, is what I call it. And I thought about this. But the thing is, though, is that if it's not some EMP, if it's not limited nuclear war, if it's not something that tips us over, then I think it could be this kind of just failure through neglect. People will stop giving a shit usually before they go completely crazy. And myself included, I will simply stop giving a shit. If I'm told to do something insane, I will simply at one point just stop giving a shit. And then at some point, if I'm pushed to do something crazier or I'm simply treated like shit, I'll just go, you know what? This is bullshit. It doesn't mean I'll kill somebody. It doesn't mean I'll kill myself. But yeah, I'm at the point in my life now where my level of tolerance for bullshit is zero. I really just can't deal with it. Now, thankfully, I don't work at a nuclear power plant. I don't have a sensitive job. I don't have any job right now, which I suppose in some ways makes me more dangerous, but not really. But yeah, I think that the kind of failure we're looking at, if things don't change, is that kind of jagged, that can sometimes get rapid and scary, especially if you're talking about people in sensitive roles. But that jagged collapse of just neglect. And then on top of neglect, other systems will fail just because, in my opinion, I think James Howard Kunstler and people like him are right. I think we have some serious dysfunctional issues with petroleum. And that's a nice way of putting it. The shale oil miracle looks more and more bogus every day, especially if you look at the books. It doesn't look honest, the whole thing. If you read an article about it, it's like in general, yeah, you'll have these really up articles from the Department of Energy saying, we got 50 billion years of shale oil. But then you read about, the red on the books, the fact that they got all this junk debt supporting them. Garbage debt. A lot of garbage debt is holding up shale oil right now. So, yeah, it won't just be people going crazy. At a certain point, it will just get hard to get the things you need to survive. And if you live in a city, especially a modern city that is highly dependent upon stuff that gets shipped in, it doesn't take more than a few weeks for people to just really say, I'm hungry. What's worse, and this is going to sound mean, but it's probably true and maybe correct, is that parents might be the worst because parents have kids and parents will be ruthless for their kids. Can we be blunt? Can we be honest? A good parent, A parent that loves their children will be ruthless for their children. And whether you like it or not, unless you have good friends, it's their family against you. And whether it's a bag of rice or a carton of milk or even a box of tampons, it's my family, my stuff. Now, do I hope people behave better? I would like to think so, but I'm not sure if we've educated people to behave better. I think our public schools are a failure. And what's worse, they're not just that they're turning people stupid, but they're producing a lot of very, borderline psychopathic people that have no real values. I had a teacher in high school who stepped in and gave me a lot of good advice that I think did change my life. And I had some shitty years in part because of the advice, because I probably could have been a wealthier person if I'd, not followed this teacher's advice. But I think I've been a better person, not a perfect person. My God, I fuck up all the time, but I could have been a really dark, evil person if I had not listened to this teacher. But if that teacher gave the advice that he gave me in a public school today, and some principal found out, he would get fired. That's the thing. The system's broken. The system doesn't work. So the people out there, I don't think they're ready to ask ethical questions when it comes to getting their Cheetos. I think that it's going to be pretty terrible. And I look around Seattle, and I'm sorry if I'm hurting your feelings in Seattle, okay? Which sounds like a good name for a movie. Hurting your feelings in Seattle. Like, better than Sleepless. Everybody suffers from weird sleep cycles in Seattle. The further north you go, the weirder your sleep cycles get. That's my theory. But yeah. There you go. If this thing fails, if this thing cracks, if stuff stops working, it just doesn't take long, maybe 2 or 3 weeks. People in Seattle have an attitude about the world. A lot of them feel entitled. They do. I don't mean the poor. The poor in every city pretty much feel like outsiders. I'm talking about these people that are still clinging to whatever we want to call middle class, and maybe an upper middle class. They have very, talk about entitlement. They are convinced that they're there because they're good people. And things could get bad fast. Things could get terrible quickly. People can lose their heads. Your neighbors, you don't know your neighbors. If you don't know your neighbors, that's bad. I should say that's worse. It's bad if you know your neighbors but just don't like them. It's worse if you don't know them in a way because you don't know what's over there. It could be a normal person. Could be a person who has always been dreaming of a time when he or she can walk about with a samurai sword and cut people in half and no cops show up. Collapse isn't smooth. Okay, here's the thing about expansion and growth. Expansion and growth, because of almost the way that the world operates, can tend to be smooth. Okay, so it seems smoother. I shouldn't say it's always smooth, but it tends to seem smoother. So when populations grow, it tends to be a more smooth function. It seems to be. But maybe that's wrong. It could be jagged too. But what I can say with certainty is that when populations collapse, and I believe this is fairly true, with the exception of rare things like the meteorites or the or some disease that kills almost everyone at once. When populations collapse, it's probably pretty jagged. When our society collapses, it'll be jagged. We'll have little periods of growth because here's the thing: destruction, like these weird bubbles, tends to overshoot. So we could have these massive collapses, and then there's all these resources and fewer people, and it could seem like things are getting better for a while. We could have, if what we're looking at is a resource-based collapse. 50 years from now, when there's, a third as many people, because I think that's where things are headed, it could seem like things are great. But that's probably true because there's, a third as many people. I don't think it will be great, and I don't think it will be even that nice, but I think you can have periods of expansion. It's just like World War II. World War II wiped out a lot of resources, a lot of factories, a lot of countries that were making stuff. Okay, were wiped out. Okay, and then the United States is more or less intact, more or less, and has lots of money it can hand out. That Federal Reserve's got a printing press, modern monetary theory, print, print, print. And then you have that miracle of yeah. You have the miracle of the Marshall Plan and handing money to Western Europe to keep the communists out. All that miracle, all of that was more or less created because most of the world was destroyed in 1945 in terms of production. A lot of the key places, I shouldn't say the whole world, but the key places making stuff were more or less pummeled into dust or pushed to the limit. England was pushed to its limit. Factories were blown up. So yeah, we could experience a collapse and then have a little period of growth and think, holy shit, everything's fine. Everything's going to be okay. But it's not going to last long. It'll just last until we've gotten to the same point again. And I don't know. It depends upon how jagged this is. But all of this, when you get right down to it impacts culture. It impacts morale. People will often disconnect the economic from these other subjects because they think they're ethereal and they're occult and they're somehow connected to some dark magic. But the fact is, what you eat and how you sleep at night and what you drink in your water is connected to your culture. If you live in a society of crazy craziness and collapse, you're going to get a weird culture. Your culture could get really scary, potentially, in my opinion. It could become a vicious, vicious culture. And if I look around today at Seattle and I look around, I see that kind of vicious collapse culture. That kind of like, well, you need to watch Tony Robbins, Dan, or read his book, and then you'll get it. And it's like, no, I don't. I'm not going to say a good or bad thing about Tony Robbins, but I don't need to read that. What I need in the world is what a lot of people say they need, but just I don't think they want. And that's just some peace, from things just not being so shitty. But that just because I want it doesn't mean it's going to happen. When things start falling apart, when things start breaking, when systems stop working, you're going to have something that James Burke in the BBC documentary Connections from the 70s, which I highly recommend, the Connections series, James Burke, BBC documentary, BBC. I'm not saying I'm a fan of BBC, but it's a good series. When things start falling apart, you often have things that, well, they get into the trigger effect. And these are things that get impacted. These are things that fail that have huge ripple effects. Okay, huge connections, huge ripple effects. And one of his examples is a blackout from I think it was from the 1960s, where basically it was some piece of equipment at a power station that failed and it caused a cascading collapse in the system. And I'll tell you, as a software engineer, not claiming to be the world's greatest one, but I can tell you as a programmer, you can have flaws in your code. In fact, it's more or less a proven thing, or at least common sense-wise. It's called the halting problem. But the bottom line is, no matter how good a programmer you are, everybody, creates bugs. Bugs happen, and you can create bugs by accident that are so subtle, but they can be catastrophic. It happens. It should be rare. If people are, reviewing each other's code, it should be extremely rare, but it does happen. And when it happens, you hope that there's a way around it. Like you have a good backup plan. Like there's a way for you to recover. Usually, a smart software shop will have a good recovery plan. Honestly, it depends. But according to James Burke and the trigger effect, these things that happen, these things that fail, can be so catastrophic in the chain reaction that they can cause something, that you wouldn't expect and something horrible and potentially something good. I mean, there is the trigger effect of something, a good idea, but the thing is, it also can mean something terrible. It can mean failure. The system is in failure and it's only going to get worse. It's a cascade effect. And if one trigger triggers another, if the trigger effect is a chain of trigger effects, then you can see modernity melt around you. It won't be symmetric, but it could be reasonably fast. It could be something that doesn't happen overnight, but it could be something that happens over weeks or over a couple of years. You could see a country go from being what we think we are now to something that looks closer to Venezuela. That's possible. I don't think it's going to be overnight. I think people will try to be decent and kind. I think they will try. I think that a lot of people have bad paradigms, which means they'll screw it up, and then things could start getting bad. I just don't know. It depends upon the wisdom of people. People are wise and they recognize that violence isn't going to make any of this better, then it's possible that people, come up with solutions. But I just don't know. I just don't know. I go back and forth in my head on this one. It's like I want to believe that people are decent, but I went, here's an admission, and I won't give any details. I went crazy, like on a particular day, a little more than a year ago. I went crazy, and I was really mean to some people that I should not have been mean to. And that's a polite way of putting it. Like, I was extremely mean, and I went crazy. Now, do I think I'm the worst person in the world? No. Well, some days I wake up and I feel that way, but I did. I went crazy, and it's not really an excuse as much as it's acceptance. I accept the fact that for reasons, and I think I know the reasons, and all of which is still my responsibility, but I went crazy. Like, I'm glad I wasn't in charge of a nuclear, anything. I wasn't going to harm anybody, but I went crazy. I whatever, the pin was pulled. And in my case, I'm a dud grenade. I'm not going to harm anybody, but I will create smoke and a spark. I was crazy. I made a lot of noise and I went crazy. People, I may be someone who is, how can I phrase this? Not middle of the road or average when it comes to sanity. I don't know how I judge my sanity in an insane society. It seems impossible, but maybe I am a little bit of on the fringe when it comes to what's normal. But a lot of just normal people have a lot of pressure right now. Pressure trying to make ends meet, pressure with complexity, pressure with confusion. I mean, it's not, people think all these laws are good things. These extra laws and rules, they make life more complex. And this complexity is not good. It's not good in computer science. It's not good in society. It stresses people out. Like, there was a day and age, and I know it was 100 years ago, but really more than 100 years ago, probably. But there was a day and age where if you wanted to start a business, you just started a business. You didn't need to hire a lawyer. You didn't need to hire an accountant. Listen, did some businesses do bad things? Yes. But in general, I would say the world was probably a better place. Today, we got all kinds of rules, and the rules are really just manure for corruption. They really did, what they've done is they've taken the corruption and they've institutionalized it. It's horrible. Corporations under the color of law will do terrible frickin' things. They'll say, "Well, the EPA certified this." Yeah, you're still killing things, dude. You're still murdering living ecosystems. What the hell's wrong with you? The government said it's okay. This is the thing, and this is why people, especially environmentalists who depend upon the government, I do not get it. I think you guys are deeply confused because the government's the reason why these people are getting away with it. You need to take away their power. They have the power. They're not going to give it to you. But that's the thing about collapse, is usually the people in charge make the worst possible decisions. It's like the Battle of Adrianople. I think it was in 378 AD. The Battle of Adrianople, which was really just a campaign against a bunch of, barbarians, it was something that was avoidable. They didn't have to fight it. That particular Roman emperor could have chosen not to fight it and could have done something different, and it would have been smarter. But instead, that particular emperor, I think it was, I don't know if it was Valentine or something, I forget, but the point is that particular emperor that particular emperor decided to fight the Battle of Adrianople, and I think that was a really stupid decision. But it's what they do. It's why the Gulf War, the first Gulf War especially, isn't what people think it is. They make these decisions. They're really terrible decisions. It's almost as if it's also built into the DNA of empire. Empires at the end, they make terrible decisions. It is like the Battle of Stalingrad. It's like Brexit. Brexit didn't have to be this massive, ridiculous raccoon fucktard parade. It didn't have to be so stupid. And I'm sure the people that voted to leave the EU in the UK would have preferred it to have been less stupid. But instead, the elites turned it into something ridiculous. And I still think they're going to try to figure out a way to just say, well, it didn't really happen, or we're going to have to do it again. Who knows? But I think they're making really stupid decisions. So it's like the Yellow Vest thing. In my heart, I've been screwed so many times. I mean, it's like that Who song, I don't want to get fooled again. I don't want to get fooled again. So when I look at the Yellow Vest thing, on the one hand, I say, okay, there's a lot of pissed off people. It could be legit. But on the other hand, even if it is legit, it could just be more of this plague of madness I'm talking about. There may be no real thought process behind it, except for people are pissed off. It could be just an inchoate, massive, almost super amoeba of pain, wanting to devour everything that the amoeba thinks is evil, and probably as smart as an amoeba on a group level, so it's not going to be smart about the victims. The thing is, when these types of plagues of madness get bad enough, there's no such thing as innocent or guilty. The guilty, you hope, the guilty are killed, but a lot of innocent people are killed as well. Or I shouldn't say innocent. You could argue no one is innocent, but I mean hairdressers. I'm a hairdresser to the stars, or I'm a hairdresser to the bankers. Okay, well, guess what? You're going to get to the guillotine too. So I don't know. Anyway, yeah, this has been a longer podcast, kind of negative. The one this morning, I don't know. The one this morning was sort of positive in a way. I don't know what's going to happen. I do not. I cannot predict the future. I would say, if you've heard my podcast on my whole hang glider analogy, I think that there are islands before us that are very close that we can get to from our cliff, that are mostly pretty terrible, and there are islands further away that will take some thermals and some skill to glide to. Now, do I think we could theoretically glide to the great islands way off in the distance that are nice islands, labeled things like free energy and, interstellar travel and a nice and decent and free world where people are not treated like things? I think it's possible, but it doesn't seem likely. And the islands next to us are all terrible, and the water is simply filled with sharks. So, yeah, I think that I can't predict the future, but I can say this: there are things that are attracting us. It's almost like chaos theory. In fact, chaos theory comes from a mathematical field called catastrophe theory, really, in terms of things like strange attractors and whatnot, if you research it. But chaos theory, it's like in chaos theory, there are these strange attractors at work right now, and I think most of them are quite bad. I think that there's an influence on the system. And what chaos theory deals with in general is also important. You have to understand this is discontinuous. It's like Ray Kurzweil's singularity. And I've said this before, but I'll say it again. We're not facing a singularity, probably, but we are facing this huge discontinuity. And if you know about, discontinuous functions, you know that just because something's true from, 0 to 5 doesn't mean it'll be true from 5 to 10. Like, it changes based upon the value in the domain. So the point is this: you can be on a function that seems okay, called, hey, it's the Obama economic recovery, and the world is heating up at, 2.5% GDP, which is really quite terrible, but we're going to pretend it's awesome. And we're spending lots of money. And that can seem stable. But then all of a sudden you hit a discontinuity and you're in a different function called this is sucks and everything's falling apart. And there's lots of possibilities. The thing about the discontinuity in front of us is there isn't just one direction. It is a lot like, if you ever balanced a pencil on a table and just let it just stay there, balanced on its, the flat part. You know it's going to fall over, but do you know which direction? It's a lot like that. This thing could fail in lots of really different ways. And in my view, the easiest ways to fail in terms of the discontinuity are probably ways that are going to be quite bad. One really easy way, like, you know, that Goodfellas, that part of the Goodfellas, the scene in the restaurant where where the Goodfellas are saying, you know, we'll take over the restaurant so we don't bully the owner anymore. But what do? They basically turn the restaurant into a big scheme. They juice out, they suck out all the wealth, all the resources, they get massively in debt. And then when the restaurant's basically totally bankrupt, totally dead, a zombie, they set it on fire and they get the insurance payout. There are people who run the world, I think, who see America and frankly, most of the Western world that way. There are people, I think George Soros is one of these kinds of people. I think he's a sabotage artist. I think he does it, like I said, under the color of law. I think that he probably uses the legal system to his advantage. So he's one of those criminals who never gets to jail. But I think he's a sabotage artist. I think he does this. I cannot prove it. I'm just a goldfish in a goldfish bowl. But yeah, they could just set fire. And the thing is, what does that mean? Well, I don't know. Rank order all the zip codes in the world for highest population. Figure out where you get to the line that says there's 40% left. And then you would basically figure out how many zip codes that is. If it's not that many zip codes, you could probably deliver a neutron bomb to every one of those zip codes in about a, in one night. You know, if Russia and China and the US and everyone work together, they could probably deliver a neutron bomb to those zip codes in one night. And then you could say, well, there was a nuclear war and it's all over and we're all friends now. And yeah, more than half of you are dead, but it's all going to be okay. And hey, we just came up with a world government and it's going to be great. I gotta say, that's one scenario I've thought about. You know, the disease scenario. This is the thing about the disease scenario. Well, they're just going to give us a virus. Viruses are dangerous. They're in some ways they're more dangerous than nuclear weapons because they're unstable. A nuclear weapon, for the most part, is not going to go off unless you do something really stupid like use it. Okay? But viruses have a way of, because they're not quite living things, but they're very close. Viruses have a way of getting out of control. And even though they're not living things, one of the benefits to the virus is that they can get very, very small. So there's a lot of precautions that work with bacteria that don't really work with viruses. So I think if the people in power were to decide, well, we got to do something terrible, you know, to these humans, we need to set fire to the restaurant, I don't think they'd use a pandemic. I can't, you know, and I just don't, but I could be wrong. I mean, listen, I think empires, like I said, the first rule is empires make really stupid decisions towards the end. So, yeah, maybe. But I think maybe it's worse than that in a way, or in some ways less painful. Maybe it is. Hey, rank order the zip codes. That's what you need. That's your magic number. And maybe they'll tell their friends. Maybe they won't. That's the thing. It's a numbers game. You know, maybe some rich people die, but they'll rank order the zip codes, neutron bombs, leave most of the buildings, kill the people, probably the dogs and cats as well. And all that probably could be done in one night if every country worked together. Now, do I want that to happen? No. Do I want any kind of a world war? No. But that's not really an option. I think the Gulf War wasn't really a choice. It kind of happened. I think the second invasion of Iraq was total bullshit. Had nothing, even if you believe the 9/11 story, there is no crazy ass Kevin Bacon connection that gets you to Saddam Hussein. So the bottom line is the wars in Iraq are about defending an empire of the dollar. Really, the war on terror is the final battle for the empire of the dollar. And when you see it that way, it does get kind of scary. Because the thing about empires towards the end, and I keep repeating this, is they make really, really stupid fucking decisions. So who knows? They could use a pandemic. If they do that, it could be game over for everybody. Because you just, I think people have too much hubris, especially the smart ones, way too much hubris when they think they can control technology. But when it comes to a virus, which is mostly something that we didn't create, we manipulate, we modify, we reproduce our own fake versions, but we didn't really create the viruses. We're basically editing them and using their pieces. And maybe we're starting to create viruses, which is what? Is that good or bad? That's the thing. If we're actually at the point now where we're engineering a virus from the ground up, so they could end up doing, and maybe they have those racial viruses. Well, we'll only kill the white people or only kill 30% of the Chinese people. Maybe they got that. That's terrible. It's monstrous. But you know, there was the Manhattan Project. You know, there was the Holocaust. There have been terrible, monstrous things. So the question of whether the government will do monstrous things is an answered question. The answer is yes. So yeah, I at this point, given all the propaganda, and frankly, I'm very disappointed with Donald Trump. I'm an anarchist, so what does it matter? But he really did claim to run as something different than this. I mean, he kind of pretends to be the same guy, but some of this stuff, it looks like either he's really not prepared for the deep state, which maybe is true, or he's just was never really legit to begin with. But some of the stuff vis-a-vis Russia and Syria, and frankly, our just willingness to accept the bullshit from Israel. Like, oh, Israel can bomb Syria anytime it wants to. How is that okay? How is that remotely legal according to any of the rules of war? It's not. It is almost by definition aggressive warfare, which is a war crime. Israel commits war crimes left and right. Frankly, I think the United States probably committed a few in the last decade and a half, if we're going to be so bold. And I don't really know that people are being prosecuted in any serious way, but you know, people say, well, what about the troops? I care about the troops. Bring them home. End these stupid wars. I feel sorry for people who made the decision to serve an empire. When I signed up, I thought I was serving a republic. Okay, that's how stupid I was. And it was in the 90s. And there wasn't a war. There was no war. I was never in combat. So you can say whatever you want to say, but I wish these wars would end. And my hatred of the wars doesn't mean I hate people who chose to serve in them. I just think the wars are incredibly fucking stupid. Empires do crazy, crazy things towards the end. The people of an empire become really crazy. It is a lot like that old ancient quote, you know, those whom the gods are about to destroy, they first make mad. I think, gosh, that's brilliant. That's America right now. And also, you know, it's weird because there was this HBO movie. I think it was from the 90s called The Second Civil War. And there's actually a tech guy working for a network who actually says the same quote. It's kind of funny when you think about it. And it's like I'm thinking to myself, I don't really say that quote because I'm copying a movie. I'm saying it because I think it's true. But that movie was really weird. In a lot of ways, the America in that movie, that HBO film, it's a weird film. You might want to watch it, called The Second Civil War. America's behaviors today look a lot like it. There's a lot of strangeness going on all sides of power, a lot of madness. You know, it's like this Q thing. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Q's real, maybe Q's not real. But the way people are responding to Q, it almost like Q's a prophet. Okay, like Q's Ezekiel. Q, I don't think Q is Ezekiel or Jeremiah. I don't think Q is a prophet. But people are treating Q almost like Q's a prophet. Whoever it is or the group is, could be one person, could be 50 people, could be an AI, according to some people, a computer, whatever. So things are getting weird out there, and empires do crazy shit at the end. So be careful in the night, Seattle, on this weird freaking winter night of craziness and rain. Be careful. Be careful as you walk outside. Okay.